Pickaxe.
Hello and welcome back to the Triforce podcast. This week I am in America, so I don't know if Sips and P-Flax are going to do a podcast, but probably not. So I'm just recording this in case it goes in front of the archived stuff that we have left over from Team Double Dragon. All of the finest bits of Sips and I waffling over gameplay as we talk ignorantly about stuff we don't really know about for you to get salty about. So yeah, enjoy this podcast. It starts now.
Hey, we're back.
I don't typically have a lot of fun stuff to talk about anyway. A lot of the chat that we have together is kind of...
I don't know. Don't sell yourself short. I mean, I find it a riot, you know?
No. I mean, I could talk about really mundane things happening. Like, I found some mold in my spare room cupboard, you know, on the wall.
Oh, nice.
So I reported it to the landlord and, you know, it means it probably got a leak.
You know, you shouldn't have done that because isn't he kicking you out, like, pretty soon?
Well, yeah, but it's pretty important for me to, like, not get in trouble when I leave and him saying, oh, look, there's loads of mold, you didn't report it, you're going to lose your deposit. That's always the big fear with renting somewhere, right? That the landlord is going to keep all of your deposit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're aware of this, people who are out there, but landlords, oh, man. I never want to be
one. They? No.
Because it's not a good thing to be, right?
It's
always a fat guy with a greasy, like, string vest on.
He's always wearing a wife beater. He's always got some sort of accent, like maybe he's from Russia or something.
Yeah. His hairline is receding, and he's holding a half-open can of beer.
Yeah. So just imagine me. I'm a landlord, and this is the...
Some kind of accent, tick. Half-open can of beer, tick. Receding hairline, tick. Double
tick.
Yeah,
double tick. Double tick, you're right. So imagine I'm your landlord. I turn up, and I say to you, listen, Buster... You better be reporting damp in the bathroom, or guess who's going downtown to Chinatown. And then you probably turn around and say, I didn't have a dad, and I've always wanted someone to take me to Chinatown for a day out, so that's me. And you raise your hand, and you realize, hang on a second, that's not what this guy's talking about at all. And then I beat your ass.
No.
In a fight.
No, you raise your hand.
Yeah.
And... you realize it's the same as his hands, and you realize that he is actually your dad.
Your dad. He's like...
your long-lost dad.
Oh, my God. This guy has the same birthmark on his hand that I have.
That's
that
right.
That means that we must be either related or maybe soulmates, but maybe being related is closer to the mark.
Yeah, you kiss for a second, and then you realize, oh, maybe we're, maybe we're not soulmates. Yeah.
Just a really friendly kiss, though. Not like a passionate love kiss.
How
it's more
do you
like
know
a,
that you found a soulmate? Is it the kiss?
No, I don't. You know what I think it is? I think, you know, you found your soulmate when you do that thing where you're like, yeah, and then I got on the bus, and then the person's like, slipped. And you're like, yeah, that's exactly what happened. You know, you complete each other's sentences, just have this ability to like know what the person is thinking and how they feel and
feel.
Stuff. That's how you know.
No, that's
how you
know
you've got a soulmate.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, do you not think it's more of a physical thing? Okay. Almost like how
animals,
you know, a lot of animals sort of relationships are done through smells and pheromones and stuff. So maybe your soulmate, maybe you like the smell of their farts or something like that. I don't know.
I don't know. Can you be attracted to somebody based on the smell of their farts?
I'm just trying to find like a way to identify the soulmate. Okay, there must be some... there's always this...
Are you a huge narcissist if you really love the smell of your own farts and are attracted to yourself based on that, on the smell of your own farts?
Yeah, that shows that you have a really big ego. Yeah, probably.
Nice.
I don't know. I don't think your own farts are supposed to be unpleasant to you, but they probably... I don't know. Sips, I'm not an evolutionary biologist, okay? I like to pretend I'm a polymath at everything. But actually, do you know what I am? Some people were getting mad at me last time, right? Because I was talking about marriage at and you? Stuff in a really weird way. Yeah.
You're being super cynical about it. You're like, oh, you just got married for green card and stuff. And you know what? I left my garage after that last recording, and I broke down on my driveway, which is two steps away from my house
you
and my garage.
You put your fist through the garage door.
I broke down on my driveway.
And you said,
I dropped down onto my knees. Yeah, I held my arms up in the air, platoon style.
Yeah.
It started raining, and I said, my whole life is a lie. I married for a green card. And then I realized, no, hang on, actually. Lewis is just like a bit of an angry man. And that's not the case at all. Rain stopped. I instantly dried off and went inside and I felt good.
So do you think this is one of these things that people sort of say about millennials or the younger generation? And we are part of that. Well, I suppose... Well, I'm on the
I'm
very...
Not.
I think you could be a millennial if you were born from about
81, 82
onwards. Yes. Yeah. So I was 83. So I'm like the oldest millennial
that
is.
You know.
Yeah. Well, not quite, but
I mean, I joke about this sometimes with Hat Films because they're younger, right? And I always say like that they're a bunch of filthy millennials who are like entitled and they don't appreciate the good things and all this stuff. And like, you know, the reality is that, you know, they're not that. Well, it's a weird thing, isn't it? You don't, when you're really young, you can tell when somebody's, you know, 1 or 2 years younger than you or, you know, 5 years younger than you. There's like huge difference.
Oh, yeah.
In that. But when you're older, there's not much difference. You know, people sort of like, in terms of like personality and sort of like things that you do and you're into, you kind of like plateau in your mid-20s, don't you? You just sort of like...
Hat Films and... Me and you and Duncan are all much of a muchness, I think. We feel very like kindred spirits. And I think Harry, in the same way, even though we know he's young, we still, he is just one of us. And there's no age boundaries there. Whereas I think when I was at school, associating with people in the year below me was kind of frowned upon, you know?
Yeah.
But I did have a few friends in those years. It's not that we didn't, but it kind of just wasn't done.
Were they real friends or were they just like drug friends? Did you have any just drug friends? Like people that you would never invite over to your house or introduce to your parents or even really talk on the phone, but people that you were more than happy to just like stand outside and smoke cigarettes with and stuff?
Weirdly, the drug friends that I had were actually, this was a pretty unique thing in my school. They actually overlapped with the nerdiest computer room guys. Okay.
Oh.
So there were this group of people who hung out in the computer room every day, and they were all these mega nerds. And
was that you?
No, I wasn't.
Oh, good.
I was
gonna say, holy shit, I gotta go. I mean, I think a bus just hit my garage or something.
I kind of hovered around between groups. I wasn't one of the guys who went out clubbing when I was 16 and drank a lot of beer and, you know, was the cool guys who got to sit at the back of the bus, kind of the cool club. I wasn't in that, no. I wasn't in the computer room guys. I wasn't in the real chess club problem. But, there was this kind of group of... they were cool guys, and they were smoking a lot of weed at lunchtime in school uniform, and they all got expelled. And
nice.
It just happened that it was a group of about sort of six of them, but only like three or four of them were there on that day. And if you were unlucky, because I'd been down with them. If I had been unlucky, my life would have completely changed.
Yeah, you would have got done for the weed,
done for smoking the reefer.
Oh man, you would have gone to jail. Because it's really strict, too. You know, if
back
you get
then,
caught with doing a weed, you're fucking
back then, it was
done.
It was prison.
It was prison, hard time, hard labor, too, in
but
the prison.
Nowadays, they probably say, oh, he's just got a bit of affluenza. Let's put him in a special class for it and give him a little trophy that says, well done.
Yeah, it says, well done
overcoming
on your weed.
Your weed problem.
Weed addiction.
Yeah.
You kick that weed habit. Well and truly.
You know, what do you think about people getting what do you think about the generation being a bit coddled? People say this all the time, okay?
About
not that
millennials.
When I say stuff, okay, you have to understand that I'm not saying it, but I'm just saying what I've heard as being the general perception. What do you feel about millennials being coddled and being given awards for not achieving and being patted on the back even though they don't work hard? And
I think it's bullshit. I think, you know, earn it. Stop crying about it and get out there and earn it, you big babies. That's my message to millennials.
I think millennials are quite happy in terms of their outlook. You know, I think they're more upbeat than the older generations are.
They're all like bohemians and stuff too, aren't they? You know, they millennials traditionally all wear turtlenecks, hang out in coffee shops. They have like a lot of Apple products.
Yeah, goatees. They're very liberal. They're very socially liberal in terms of they
would never fight back if they got mugged.
They care about organic food.
This is the thing. Generation X.
Gay rights.
If you're part of Generation X and you got mugged at knife point, you'd fucking fight back, okay?
Yeah.
Because that's the generation that you're from. If you're a millennial, you're a pussy, okay? You get mugged at knife point, you're like crying and pissing your pants and you can't get your wallet out of your pocket fast enough to give it over and stuff. And that's the difference.
That is the difference, yeah.
That's the difference right there.
But also, those millennials, they probably wouldn't have any money in their wallet, okay?
No.
Bitcoins. They pay for everything on their iWatch, right? Or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's like, but they'll be mugged
for their
phone,
laughing at the mugger. They'd be like, like I carry my Bitcoins around in my pocket.
But even then, they'd probably just say, oh, you know, take my phone. You know, here you go. And because I know I can just get a new one from insurance
from my dad.
Or whatever, from my dad.
Dad, who's like the president of a Fortune 500 company. Because everyone's dad is nowadays, aren't they?
Or they're looking forward to tweeting about it. They're like, I can't wait to get home and tweet about being
can't
mugged.
Wait to tweet about this, like,
this is such a good
traumatic
story.
Experience.
Yeah
they're a funny breed, aren't they, millennials? I mean, having said that, we did sort of say that you are a millennial and you don't really do those things. It's weird how the generations, like the labels for generations, cut off at certain points, because I would say that you and I are from the same generation. You were born 3 years after me, you know, early 80s, going into like the 90s, growing up in the 90s and stuff. We're from like the same sort of generation, aren't we? But
yeah,
we're not classed as being part of the same generation, which I think is like kind of sad. You know, it'd be like if they had to put people from Generation X on a boat and people from millennials on a boat, we'd be standing at the dock thinking, oh, cool. You know, we like grew up in the same time and, you know, we're familiar with the same things, we're going to be totally on the same boat. And then no, we're on different boats. And then it's like the Titanic, we're crying and stuff at sea, longing to be in each other's company, because you're just going to be stuck with a bunch of crying millennials who are like trying to buy, you know, food on their watch or whatever. And I'm with all the cool tough Generation X kids who are just fighting each other and headbutting each other all over the boat. What would be your ultimate ability? What kind of ability would you like to have that was a little bit out of the norm?
I kind of don't like applying these kind of unrealistic supernatural things to answer its questions, because I think you don't give enough bounds for it, okay?
You don't want people to know that you're a pervert, that's why, right? Because you probably just thinking to yourself,
it always
I
says,
want x-ray vision.
It says
I
more about you than it says
all the time.
And then it is interesting. I've seen everything.
I've seen every breast.
It's a problem because I there's no bounds. The classic thing is that when you set a story, this is one of Brandon Sanderson's laws. When you set a story or in a magical world or a fantasy land, you have to set the boundaries for how powerful the powers can be and what their drawbacks are. Because sometimes the best thing about when we play D&D and when we pick heroes and when we pick things like this is not necessarily what the superpowers or strengths are. It's what their corresponding weaknesses are, okay?
I feel like I'm always overpowered, though. Like, I always carry the team when we play D&D.
That is true. But what makes interesting characters is not their strengths, it's their flaws, okay?
Oh.
And so
that's
pretty
typical of somebody who's, like, massively flawed would say that, though, you know, because they want to, you know, they want to justify like why they're so shit at everything. All right. Well, let's compromise then. Let's say you're stranded on a desert island, but you have like a supernatural power as well.
Okay,
sure.
What
would that power be? And what would you do to survive?
My supernatural power is that I can summon anything, any object out of into existence right now. Okay.
Well, that's like, bullshit, bam. Though. Okay, you can but you wouldn't be able to do that like, just by whoop. Unlocking a dormant
I'd
part
like,
of your brain.
I'd be like,
okay,
and then I could summon it's, out like a load
no,
of.
That's fucking
okay,
garbage.
No. What do you mean? What do you mean? A dormant part of my brain? What? What? You can't
well,
say that's garbage.
Well, according to the laws of Sanderson, there has to be a limit to the power. You can't
well, would
just
you
fucking...
have a, given me a limit, Sips?
It's
so,
not Star Trek.
Okay, fine.
The fucking
I will heal cancer
creator.
With my hands.
Okay.
Is that any more realistic than someone
it's
else?
It's a little bit more. Okay, it's
not
a little
realistic
bit more.
At all. It's bollocks.
Come on. It's a lot more so than being like, oh, shit, I need a shovel. Pring,
okay.
Here's a shovel.
When
it's
I take
a
shit, it's made of a gold. It's made of gold. But only when it hits the toilet
one.
Bowl,
holy
so it doesn't injure me.
I never thought of that.
Right?
Mine was shit-related, funnily enough, but it wasn't the ability to shit gold.
Again, like the problem with that is that there'd be lots of problems, right? But these questions, I don't find them very rewarding unless there are hard, like...
well,
then you
haven't
have
heard
start...
my answer yet.
Okay, go on, fine. What's your stupid answer?
Okay, my stupid answer is the ability to cause people... to shit their pants whenever I want them to.
Again,
do you know how fucking useful that would be?
Listen,
it'd be so useful.
You don't understand. That's probably already a thing. You know, there's the you've heard
no.
of the brown sound, okay?
Well, I no, okay.
Well,
elaborate.
Okay, there's a thing. There was a theorized thing called the brown sound, where it's like a really
right.
low pitched sound that vibrates at the same frequency as your butthole, right? So
okay.
it makes you poop. Yourself whenever you hear the brown sound. Okay,
no,
so
that's
theoretically
bullshit.
Well, it's much more scientifically likely that we will be able to come up with something that makes you shit yourself, right? There are already
yeah.
plenty of things
no, no.
that make you shit yourself, right?
Well,
so all we need to do
true.
Is scientifically figure out something which will do that. That's realistic. Just having hands which radiate fucking the cure to any disease that someone's suffering from is bollocks.
Oh,
in the same way
it
that
is,
it's bollocks
yeah.
that I would come up with the idea that I was on a beach, snap my fingers, and there's a Copacabana bar, right? And then I can just have a mojito and, you know, lie on the beach and have a great time. And then whenever I'm done, I'll be like, bam, satellite phone. Hey, I'm on an island. Send a yacht. Bam, yacht appears. Do you know what I mean? Like, it'll be fucking great. That superpower,
yeah.
but no one talks about that as if that's oh, that's too unrealistic. That's too.
It's
right,
too,
how about
no,
the
you
superpower
know what it is?
To
it's too
create
easy because the
life,
thing is
right.
Okay, you can cure cancer with your hands, but it has a detriment on you though. It sucks the life out of you when you do it. Okay, you being able to summon a bus whenever you want. What is the detriment to you? Like maybe you have to have something where it's like. Like you were saying before, like there has to be a great strength, but there has to be like a drawback to a weakness. So anything that you summon has to land on your head first.
An equivalent. Well, I like the idea that a superpower has an equivalent weakness relative to how strong it is. So, for example, there's this really classic old anime called Darker Than Black, okay, where the guys have super... It does sound racist, but it isn't. The guys have superpowers, but they have a contract, okay? So what the contract is that it's something they have to do that either they don't want to do or is very unpleasant
right.
after they've used their superpowers. So maybe this one guy can like fire electricity out of his hands, okay? But
yeah.
his contract from
But then
that
he has to
that,
like strangle a baby every time he does it.
Well, okay, I don't think I've seen any that have been that extreme.
No.
But it's usually something like break each of your fingers or something
oh,
like that. Or maybe,
God,
or maybe something like
bad.
Maybe something less. Like if your power's a little bit weaker.
How the hell would you play video games if you had to break all your fingers? That would suck.
Well, maybe it's only on one hand. Yeah. And maybe they heal up. And also, maybe that's a more extreme end. Maybe more instead it would be like you have to do something really tedious, okay? Like... go like fold each of the pages of books like over like 500 book like 100 books or whatever, so you have to go through a load of books. It's so it's like quite a time consuming thing, so you can't just use your power whenever you want. You have this cooldown where you have to satisfy a contract, okay? And so that's an interesting concept. There's lots of interesting concepts for having weaknesses
yeah
as a result.
It controls the power creep of your ability, right? That's the point. You don't want it to get too out of control.
Because that's why no one's interested in Superman, right? That's why he's sort of a bit sucky. Because he's not got, you know, you can shoot a bullet at his eyeball and it bounces off. And I'm just like, oh, for crying out loud.
You're the guy. You're that guy, aren't you?
Your weakness is kryptonite. It's kind of the one. And it's like, oh, kryptonite.
It's like the rarest thing on Earth. Like, it's never a problem except for when some fucking bozo... Yeah, mines it from outer space and puts together a huge conspiracy against Superman.
I think we should maybe rename this whole thing to One and a Half Guys, because I'm kind of here talking to you, and you're always only paying half attention. It's like when your mum tells you something and you're playing on a video game. You're like, yeah, mum, okay, whatever, I'll do it in a
minute. Meatloaf for dinner again? Yeah, okay, fine.
Oh, sure, thanks.
Whatever.
You just don't listen, you know? I had that a lot. I had that an awful lot. I had that for like 15 years, probably, with my parents.
Where you didn't listen to your mum?
Yeah. Like, well, I only half listened, right?
What if she had like really important things to say to you, like,
no,
Lewis, you're inheriting the family fortune.
Again, there wasn't anything
don't piss
important
it away
like that in my family. And I guess it'll be the same for you. As soon as your kid starts, you know, getting a couple of years older and they don't start listening. Actually, no, because your dad, I always listened to my dad because he kind of was quite selective about when he talked to me. Mum talked to me all the time, okay?
Right.
And so I just got this sort of layer of ignore all over it, because it was all kind of pointless stuff. Whereas when my dad let me know something, it was like, Lewis, the house is on fire, quick, let's leave. And I'd be like, okay. Do you know what I mean? He didn't bother me with trivial crap, right?
No, but the thing with dads is that, I don't know about your dad, but like, my dad never said anything. So when he did say something, you knew you had to listen, because it was like going to be profound or important or whatever.
That's
right. But like with your mom, I mean, moms just talk all the time, don't they? They like tell you about all this crap that you don't want to know and stuff. So when something serious happens, you're still not listening to them?
That's right.
It's like
the boy who cried wolf. That's right.
That's exactly what it's like. Yeah. It's exactly like that. The boy who cried wolf.
Oh,
he cried
God.
Wolf so many times. Nobody. Shit.
Nobody listened. That's, we know the parable of the boy who cried wolf. Okay.
Yeah.
That is a classic tale of... it's Monday morning, and the main news from the weekend... What did you think the main news was that came out over the weekend?
Terry Wogan died.
That's right.
Man, poor guy.
And
Wogan.
Honestly, it made me realize how much of an asshole I've been lately to people who are upset that someone else has died. Like, for example, Lemmy from Motorhead died, and then...
Yeah, that's right, yeah, God.
And then Alan Rickman and also David Bowie died, right?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Alan Rickman.
I wasn't really bothered about any of those, okay? And I was quite cynical about it, okay? I was quite, well, you know, poor old David Bowie.
Yeah, yeah, you were doing the singing thing with Bowie as well, which
was a little
ultra
bit
offensive, actually.
And, obviously, Terry Wogan dying is actually pretty sad for me, because I think, and I don't realize that these other people probably have the same effect on other people. But I was a big Wogan fan. Okay, I used to listen to Wogan like every morning for about 20 years. It felt like, you know, every morning I would,
it says a lot. But
I would have a radio alarm clock. It would wake me up. You know, I'd go to school and I'd listen to Wogan. And then when I went to work in university, I would listen to Wogan again. And, he was kind of this... Just let me get through this, Sips, because it's emotional. Okay, it's hard. It's hard
right
for me.
Well, the thing is, I just wanted to sort of say, like, you know, you clearly like Wogan. And I feel like maybe now people who really like Bowie and were really upset with the fact that you were almost making fun of the fact that he died by doing the singing voice thing to offend them, now they can get a little bit of sort of vengeance back on you.
I wasn't trying to offend them. I was
do like a
I was
Terry Wogan impersonation
upset by Bowie to some extent. Oh, lads,
Terry Walker here.
Ooh. Oh no, honestly, I used to love a bit of Wogan.
Freck father.
He was just
it's
such
me,
a
Terry Wogan.
He was just I'm such dead. A nice, gentle, kind of good guy. You know, he did all sorts of good
he
stuff
was.
As well. You know, he did Children in Need, he did Eurovision classically. You know, there were a lot of things which I guess you don't realise how certain people have an impact on your life sometimes.
Is it just me or did they... You know when Terry Wogan left BBC Two, Radio 2?
Yeah.
They found a guy who sounded exactly like him to replace him. Did you notice that?
Oh, no. I mean, that's Ken Bruce, okay? He's been doing radio for fucking probably just as long as Wogan has.
Right.
Except that he used to run... I think he's like 65 as well, but he used to run after Wogan on Radio 2. I think he probably still does.
Right.
He used to, yeah, so he's Scottish though, not
He sounds
Irish.
Just like him, I find.
Well, like, he's got that same kind of like
radio voice.
Slow radio, classic radio voice. Yeah, he does sound thing is I can see why you get confused, okay? If you're not a big Wogan listener, but he is very different. It's a little bit like Duncan and Simon. Okay, the first time we start getting Duncan on the channel,
well, I don't know. I
thought,
find they sound similar.
He
as
sounds
well.
Like Simon, but no. As soon as you know them, they sound very different. But I think sometimes it takes a little bit of time to get used to that their eccentricities and be able to tell them apart.
I still can't really tell them apart.
I think when you get when you get a bunch of people together, like Rooster Teeth, you know, I can't tell those guys apart because I don't watch enough of their stuff. But as soon as I start watching it, I'd very quickly know who's who, you know? It's easy.
I recognize the guy, is it Michael who does Rage Quit or whatever?
Sure.
He's more distinctive than the others, I find, but I don't know. I don't watch that much of their stuff, so...
I mean, I remember watching Wogan, you know, just savagely take the piss out of Eurovision Song Contest, you know.
Yeah.
And...
You seem like really sort of beat up about this. I'm surprised, actually. I figured that you were just, like, really angry, cynical, and you didn't really care about anything. But now, sort of turns out that you sort of had, like, some secret obsession with Wogan or... Maybe you're just feeling a bit down and like the whole sort of Wogan thing has, you know, revived some old feelings in you or something. I'm surprised, man.
No,
I didn't expect this from you at all.
I'm a bit emotional about it. Yeah, actually, it's pretty bad. So no, it's sad because I don't know. I have a long history, I guess.
You want to talk about poop for a bit or something? Cheer you up?
Sure, let's talk about what have you been dealing with a lot of that? Is that a normal thing in your everyday life?
No, I just like talking about it. Just like talking about
poop
a lot.
You are doing the diapers and stuff, so that I can understand why you'd bring that up. If you dealt with some poop already this morning, I assume...
No, actually, today so far has been a poop-free day. It's been nice. I haven't done a poop myself because I don't poop in the morning, and I haven't had to deal with a baby's poop either. Been pretty good.
Well, today, by the way, is apparently the most
National Poop Day.
No, it's National Sickie Day. It's It's apparently the worst day of the year for worker absenteeism, i.e. ringing up and saying, oh, I'm not feeling very well today.
Nice.
Yeah, and so it's I don't like this is something that which I guess
you're gonna
you
turn up
do.
To the office, nobody gonna be there now. Just wait for it.
I guess it just happens to be one of these times, okay? It's the 1st of February. It's a long way from Christmas, but it's very cold. Christmas is one of these celebrations that kind of keeps you going, right?
Yeah.
Through the kind of cold misery. Because summer is okay? Summer is fine. It's warm weather. You wake up, especially a UK summer, right? It's never really hot enough to, you know, be horrible. It's always, even the hottest, nicest day, you wake up, you think, oh, it's nice and warm, better get up, have a shower, get into it, you know, you enjoy it, it's really good, there's lots of light, you're full of energy, okay, and as soon as the...
Wait, we're talking about the UK here, right?
Yeah, Yeah.
Okay.
But it's never like horrible. It's never like overwhelming. It's never like so humid that you don't want to leave because, you know, you're in your nice air. We don't have air conditioning really here. This isn't a British thing. You know, we don't have it. Maybe we have it in our cars, but then it's used to heat them up in the winter, you know, if anything.
I think before we carry on, we need to say a quick thank you to our sponsor, which is Visit the UK 2016, the travel board. Kindly sponsored us our little chat this morning, which almost deviated to poop, but now has turned into a sort of weird come visit Britain weather's really nice here.
Well, in summer,
obviously a lie.
Hold on. For the summer months, okay, from June through to late August are pleasant, okay? And
it's
then
true, they are.
It starts to get dreary and miserable, and by December, really, it's pretty shit here. It really sucks, and it's really depressing.
Whoa. Remember how nice the weather was when you came to visit in the summer? Holy shit.
Oh, it was so nice.
The weather was crazy. But we were outside like every
Jersey
day.
Jersey is basically France, okay? And what are France famous for? Wine. And so
sun.
Therefore, the sun. Wine. But wine grapes need a lot of sun. You know, they grow them in California. France does get a lot of sun. Anyway, I'm just saying that you're basically living in France, so that's a little bit different. Up here in the UK, we get a good chunk more shitty weather, and I think that December and January, December and Christmas are a good excuse to kind of get out of that kind of down in the dumps and really just have a fun time and accept that the weather might be shitty and, you know, be okay. But February now is just about the peak of the worst weather that we're going to get. It's been a really long time since Christmas, so everyone's forgotten about it. There's nothing good coming, right? Because it's just like February's pretty shitty, March is pretty shitty, and it's, you know, it's a good old fucking couple of months to go. And so I think we're just about at the trough, right, of the worst day of the year. And so obviously this is the day when people just think, I want to stay in bed. What do you think?
I kind of felt like that this morning when I woke up.
So first of all, well, you were half an hour late to our recording. So what were you doing with that? Was you just having a lie in?
No, I was playing. I don't know if you do this, Kate. Reason with me a minute, or listen to me, or something, because I'm half paying attention, of course. But do you do this thing where you're like, I feel like I need to just get stuck into something, and like sometimes that thing is just a really crappy iOS game that you randomly find on the App Store. Do you ever do that?
I do. I have had a few stupid iOS games that I've played to death. Yeah.
Yeah, like what?
One of them, I can't remember. Sometimes I can't even remember the fucking names.
Well, that's not helpful, but
I don't want to tell you what they are in case you get hooked on them like a digital crack. I don't think it's good
probably
for me
too
to
late
tell you
actually.
This.
Yeah. Well, no, go on, because I'm already addicted to a couple, actually.
Are you? Well, no, I'm not going to tell you.
Well, only since yesterday, but that's enough for me anyway.
Well, I obviously one of the ones I talked about over Christmas was Dream Quest, and I played another game similar to that a lot. I think that Duncan did an iOS freemium iOS game for a brand deal, and he said we were chatting the other day, and he looked me straight in the eyes and he was like, oh my god, that game. I can't believe it. I spend like 25 minutes every morning. I wake up and I play it for like 25 minutes every morning. I can't stop. It's just...
What is it?
I don't want to tell you what these games are, Sips.
I might be playing it, though. This is the thing.
I don't think so. I don't want to tell you. Look, it's not good. It's not good to... It's like a crack dealer. Just give me a little snifter of the crack. No, I'm not giving you any snifters of crack, because then you will like the crack, and then you will have crack every morning with your... With your
crack
cereal.
For breakfast.
For fuck's sake.
Dinner. Crack for your lunch. No, anyway. So I went onto the Apple Store thing and I was like, fuck. Just want like a game. Because I was playing
you
this game called
fuck.
Tap Tycoon.
Oh,
Tap
God.
Tycoon, okay? Which is terrible.
Is it
okay?
Like
it's one
Adventure
of those...
Capitalist?
Yeah, I really like that as well.
Yeah.
So Tap Tycoon is one of these games where you have to like furiously tap your screen like an asshole for the rest of your life and your hands get sore doing it to make money. Yeah. So in the end, I thought, fuck this. I'm not playing this one anymore. I'm going to move on to like something a bit better. But I like games where you build stuff and there's like some progress and whatever, you know, like kind of like city builders. But like on iOS, you don't get like good city builders. You just get these shitty things where it's like, hey, buy a key for $500 and then, you know, you can speed up building a school or whatever. I didn't want to do any of that either. But then I did opt for Farmville 2 Escape for the Country.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
I can't stop playing it.
I can understand.
I can't.
Right, here's the thing, okay, about this.
There's something about agriculture that really wets my whistle. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, in the depths of winter, okay, in this miserable weather where it's pouring with rain outside or snowy or shitty or just cold and wet, it's sometimes nice to play a game where you're farming watermelons on a tropical island.
In the
island.
Summer, yeah. Okay? Maybe that's the key.
I think that when it comes to summer, you're not going to be doing that stuff, right? Anyway, but...
probably.
You know, maybe then you can play like a game which is like winter. I guess this is why I don't like the whole Dota 2 winter map thing that they've given me, because it just makes me even more depressed, you know? I quite like the green, sunny map, you know, at least it makes me feel like it's not quite as horrible outside.
Oh yeah, do they? That's, I haven't played like in a while. They give you a winter map? I forgot about that.
Yeah, some people do absolutely love winter though, so to you people I say good for you.
Good for you.
Some
that's
people love
true
that.
Actually
and to those, yeah, so good for you.
Well, good for you. Well, anyway, we'll talk to you next time more about my obsessions with iOS games, crappy iOS, because there's another one as well that I play like in between, because one is never enough, right? Because you always run out of things to do in one, so you need like a backup.
Right.
So you switch between
them. You rotate
them,
yeah.
Yeah, you rotate around like during the day. So I'll tell you what my other one is next time.
I'm excited.
Team dribbling doggy.
Bye.
Bye. Lewis is mad because I ended the last episode without using the Team Double Dragon generator. I don't have it open, Lewis. I'm busy trying to win.
Team Dispassionate Drywall. Okay.
Team Dispassionate Drywall. That sounds good to me. Anyway, we're back.
Thank you.
We were talking about iOS games and the games that we all love to hate
well,
to play.
Well, you were. I was talking about sick
Wogan.
Days.
You were getting all Wogan. Depressed about Wogan. And
I
it wasn't
still am.
Wasn't
I'm
becoming of you. Get out of the dumpster, Lewis. Come on.
Okay.
Get your pecker up.
So tell me about
get,
what
get
other...
it up and start...
Start pounding
it.
Away.
Start pounding away. Come on.
Just hide your troubles
just,
in a
just
in
masturbate.
A woman.
Just a warm, masturbate a lot.
In a warm vagina.
in a what?
A warm
you can't
vagina.
You can't say that. You can't say that. The problem with Radio 1 is they play all this music that I have no idea what it is. You know, like, it's all... And here's the latest from Super Zoomer 5 Million, and it's dubstep. And I'm just like, what the fuck is this? It's like, all right, everybody, get ready for breakfast. Let's listen to dubstep. Well, and I'm just like, well...
I'm not sure that's what it's like.
I don't want to listen to Radio
Certainly
1 ever again now.
It's very pop, okay? They have a set playlist, which is assigned by some guy. So they have like 20 songs on loop. So you hear the same songs over and over again because they only change them every like couple of weeks. So it's almost like playing...
Or maybe Radio 1's just pushing a millennial agenda.
Maybe. Do you remember when you had like an album, okay, a musical album?
Yeah.
On a CD or something.
Uh-huh.
This is like a completely forgotten thing, I guess, now. And it was the only one you had, or it was in your CD player and you played it on loop. Did you have any albums like that you played on loop? I lived with a guy who had the Killers, the first Killers album. And
on CD?
On CD. And
Killers were like Napster era though, weren't they?
No, it was called Mr. Brightside, the one with that on it. Is that which album is it? Well, we'll find out. I'll Google it. But basically, he had it on loop for about a year. And I heard that album probably five times a day.
I mean, for us, it was Smells Like Teen Spirit. That was on loop a lot. Just that one song. Enter Sandman by Metallica was on constant loop a lot. And what else? Oh, yeah. That House of Pain song, you know? Jump around.
Oh.
Back it up, back it in. Let me begin.
Some songs you end up
hearing. We actually wore a cassette tape out re-listening to that song. Like, it was just huge when it came out. I don't know if you remember, but...
You had a big boombox on your shoulder.
No, nothing like that. No, it was just... We had, you know... I had one of those cassette players, like a double, so you could tape other cassettes on it.
Okay.
Piracy. Yes, it was like early piracy. And so basically...
Home taping is piracy.
That's right. So you'd borrow the tape from your friend or whatever... And then you'd be like, just lend it to me tonight so I can tape it. And then you'd tape it onto your own cassette and you'd like photocopy like the album art and stuff to make it like almost like you have the tape, but it's not quite the tape sort of thing.
I never quite went that far. It was never quite the same either to have.
Did you ever make your own mixtapes and stuff?
Did you
ever make a mixtape and give it to a friend?
No.
Like, here's a mixtape?
Well, do you know what my... Weirdly, my granddad made me
a mixtape. And it was all Frank Sinatra
to try and get me into his sort of kind of music. So he had bought he was a big cassette player, musical guy, and he had a lot of jazz.
Oh, yeah.
And he was putting a lot of jazz onto cassettes to listen to in the car, I think, or something like this. And so he gave me a collection. He made me a tape with a load of jazz on it, which is quite a nice thing. I remember being about, I think I was only about 6 or 7.
He made you
though.
A jazz mixtape?
Yeah, so it was about 1990 when he did it.
What the fuck, man?
I know, it was
seriously?
A very long time ago.
Are you for real? That actually happened?
That actually happened, yeah.
Jesus.
So it had all the greats on there.
Right.
All the greats. Chattanooga like, Choo Choo.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah. Classic, yeah.
And
vintage granddad jazz, that one.
I can't really remember any other what's on it.
Just like a ton of Little Richard on there for some reason. Fucking, I don't know. We were talking about this yesterday. We were saying, I was talking to Shin and Alex about it. And we were saying, remember when Napster first came out? And I was saying, yeah, I remember when it came out. Like when it came out and I downloaded Napster for the first time and searched for a song. I think the first song I searched for was You Can't Touch This by MC Hammer.
Okay.
And it was just sort of like to show my household that I had this ability now to obtain random music whenever I wanted to. And like I didn't have to own the CD or go out and buy anything. Like I could just download this music. And everybody was like so fucking blown away. They were like, what the hell? And here we are, the whole house, listening to You Can't Touch This by MC Hammer on full blast, like out of my computer. And then that sort of, you know, prompted this whole like, find some Brian Ferry. Hey, can you find some Talking Heads? Like, these are my parents asking for all this stuff. And they're, you know, they're like, oh, find this one obscure song that I don't have like on a CD somewhere or whatever. And it was like this huge thing, right? Because everybody was like, oh my God, we can listen to whatever music we want to whenever we want to. We don't have to have like a gigantic cabinet filled with CDs and stuff like that. And it was pretty exciting. Napster coming out was huge.
It was a different world, wasn't it? And it's really sometimes nice to show off things like that to people as well. Say, hey, look.
Yeah.
I could just, it makes you feel powerful in a way when you talk to someone from an older generation who is blown away by your
level of technology.
I got MC
Hammer at my fingertips here, everybody. What do you think about that?
So, going back to something we were talking about earlier, have you ever taken a sickie or like thrown a sick day or, you know?
Oh, all the time. God, yeah. Like, no, even now to this day, like, I have a pretty cool job now, and, like, still I'm, like, finding reasons to, like, not do it.
I was sort of thinking, really, of when you used to have a real job.
Yeah, yeah, and oh, no, all the time. Like, at least once a month, I would be like, fuck this. I need to stay home and play WoW. But, like, I'd phone up and be like, oh, God, I'm so sick. I can't even see. I don't know what's wrong with me. I'll go to the doctors tomorrow if it's not better. I might need 3 days off because that's like the standard thing at a job, isn't it? You know, like they'll give you like 3 days off. without needing a doctor's note?
I don't think that's a standard thing at all. I think I'm not even sure you can technically have one day off without a doctor's note, but I think most people are fairly gentle.
Maybe it's more
about
lax
it,
over here.
Jersey attitudes are a little bit laid back. Yeah. I think if it's more than a day, you can ask for a doctor's note, I think. I'm not sure. It's tricky. I guess it's something I've not really thought too much about either. But I used to throw sickies quite regularly, and I guess it's one of these things that they always complain about in the news. They say, oh, Britain has lost £36 billion worth of work to sick days. But
yeah,
I don't know. I think it's one of those things like that, you know, it makes people... some days at work I wouldn't do anything anyway, even if I was at work. You know, I would just browse Facebook and, you know...
That's the thing. I think your average job, like most companies and places and managers and... In my experience, you know, they value you occupying a seat and being there more so than you actually doing any work. Like, it's a weird thing, isn't it? It's like, we need you here in case something happens. But, you know, if nothing happens, then just want you around so you can have coffee with you and stuff. Like, you know what I mean? It's like such a weird thing. Like, I used to always think, like, just fucking let me come in, do my work. If it takes me an hour to do my work, I'll go home and, you know, rest, and then I'll come back ready for more work next time, sort of thing. But you had to, like, do your 9 hours a day or whatever it is and stuff. Like,
I think the bigger the company, the more people can justify exploiting it, okay? If they're working for a huge, huge company where they're just a tiny cog in the machine... I think it's very easy for you to realistically justify in your head that, oh, it doesn't matter if I'm kind of, you know, if I'm taking advantage of them, it doesn't matter. They probably deserve it. They can afford it. You know, I've worked hard for them. I've done a lot of stuff for them. It's very easy to justify in your head to be shitty or lazy or not do anything. But sometimes these companies don't reward people for their integral parts of things, you know, especially... You know, when I worked in the chemical industry, you know, coming up with a solution to a major problem wouldn't be your solution. You know, it was made at work during work hours on work time, and therefore, you know, you owned 0% of that. You know, if you created something that was very revolutionary, you had no ownership on it, despite, you know, the value it had to the company. You could save the company potentially millions of pounds, and sometimes it wouldn't be... valued or seen, or you know, and that's the problem when you have a very large, potentially soulless company that you work for who really are just trying to exploit you. It's very kind of corporate. I think that corporate is not moral by its very nature. It's about money, and it's more robotic, I think. It's more kind of
The Yogscast has a whole bunch of very exciting job openings for potential candidates. If you'd like to send your CV to Lewis Brinley at
whippingboytinder.com,
you can send him all of your skills and abilities, and I'm sure he'd be pleased to consider you for a future position.
We have a small...
The crew?
A small group of people, and there's not too much room for that kind
Your
of thing.
Your massive breasts, but I will do everything I can
right
to make room for those massive, massive breasts. Anyway.
Do you want to hear some common, or do you want to hear some outrageous excuses from people who have shirked off work? They're really anticlimactic, actually. I've just read them, and I'm disappointed.
I can't come in today. My dog farted.
It's very similar to that. Here they are from the
My
Telegraph.
My dog farts a lot, and he farted website. 5 times today. It's bad luck. I can't make it in. Sorry, boss.
It says, I've accidentally locked myself in the bathroom, and I'm having to wait until someone with a key to the house can come round to let me out.
Really? Does that work?
Well, I assume you lock yourself in the bathroom every time you go in the bathroom.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how
But maybe you have like, maybe it's like a system in certain houses where it's like, yeah, I lock the bathroom door. There's no way for me to unlock it, but I always have a buddy that can unlock it for me, whether that be your dad or your mom or cousin or
I can
roommate.
Understand if you're living in a house where the lock has like fallen off or something like that.
Yeah.
But actually, that do you reckon people have died because they locked themselves in the bathroom and then suddenly, oh my God, it's like a new horror story. They go to the handle, and the handle's like breaks, okay? And they can't get out of that bathroom. And that, you know, they haven't got their phone in there because
they just went
in there for a poop. And
they die in there.
And they die in there. The whole time they're thinking, why did I even lock the door?
Somebody comes along and they're like, hey, what's going on here? And then they see like, oh shit, somebody died in the crapper.
It might not even be that much
advanced rigor mortis and all that. They've been dead for a long time.
Oh, I
what
bet
happened
that happens.
Here?
I bet more people die from locking themselves in the bathroom than are killed by sharks or something.
I wonder.
Yeah.
That kind of reminds me of... Have you ever seen that documentary about that woman who died in her apartment and she was dead for like 3 years before anybody found her?
And she was still watching television.
TV was still on? That was the fucking creepiest shit. Like... I can just about handle somebody dying and being dead for 3 years or whatever, but when the TV is on and like you think over the past 3 years, like all the stuff that would have been on TV, that creeped me the fuck out, actually. I just thought, and like her heaters were still on and stuff, like, oh, man.
Yeah, I think no one noticed until her bank ran out of money to pay her bills.
Yeah.
And so I guess everything, you know, the rent was ticking over on direct debit, the gas and the electricity were ticking by, everything was just ticking over, and her, you know, bank account was just slowly ticking down. Man, that is pretty spooky.
That's fucked up, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? But, right, anyway, let's move on. number three, my plastic surgery has gone wrong and I need to go and get it fixed. That seems like a fairly unlikely excuse.
Well, you say that, but in this day and age, I mean, with all the millennials out there and their plastic surgery and stuff.
That's true.
I mean, come on, you know.
What do you think about plastic
surgery? Probably
happens
more than you think.
Because I think that people who have plastic surgery end up all looking the same. It's that plastic surgery face, right?
Yeah, it's that stretched face look, isn't it?
Yeah, and that
they
stretched
just look
face
all stretched out
instantly makes you look like either a lizard or you know, a very fixed age of creepy plastic surgery person age. So you know they're not going to be young usually.
No,
unless they say, "Oh, I was badly burned or something."
It's a bit of a shame when some people do it as well, because some people have aged well and would look all right without it, but you can tell that they've still had it done anyway for whatever reason. And it's like, why did you do that?
I'd say, I didn't have much then. I just had a little pinch. And it's like, well...
Well, that little pinch now has made you look like a clown. Maybe we can call you Pinchy.
Pinchy the clown.
Pinchy the clown.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, sometimes it's a bit of a shame, you know? Like, I find that... It's definitely more so women than men. It's very rare that you see a man with like excessive cosmetic surgery, isn't it?
Let's give a good example of a woman who has aged really well, okay?
Yeah.
And doesn't need plastic surgery. Have you got
Liz Hurley?
Liz Hurley. Uh-huh. Do you know how old she is?
Oh, man, I don't even care.
She is 50. Whoa. So she's not really very old. What about... 50
is kind of old, though.
Jessica Lange
50 is wrinkle territory.
66.
Okay. Who?
Jessica Lange from...
Jessica Lansbury?
Jessica Lange.
Murder,
from
She Wrote?
American Horror
the
Story.
Fuck? The
Have
hell's
you
your
seen
problem,
that?
Lewis? Jessica Lansbury.
I think you're thinking of Angela Lansbury. That's who you're thinking of.
Yeah.
She's very dead.
Isn't her name Jessica in Murder, She Wrote, though?
Oh, no, she's not dead. Angela Lansbury is... Angela
no,
Lansbury
she's not
is
dead.
Still alive.
She's 90. Still going. Bed knobs and broomsticks, motherfucker.
90. Well, she's probably going to...
She's 90?
There's a lot of celebrities who are pretty old, actually.
Yeah. Most of them are dying this year as well.
We're just going to... Fuck. Well, we know... I'm not going to say we know more, but there are more...
We know of more
no,
upcoming
we know
deaths.
Of more celebrities. Right, this is a thing. There yeah, are more, we do. We're exposed yeah. to, because of the internet and things like this, we are exposed to a larger pool of celebrities than we used to be.
True.
And so, true. Therefore, there will be more regular tragedies. Although I think, I don't know. So yeah, I think that women sometimes age very gracefully indeed.
yeah.
And obviously for you, that would be
some
Liz Hurley.
I think Liz Hurley has aged phenomenally.
Okay.
Like, she still looks like she's 20.
I'm not convinced she's not had anything done, though. You don't think she's had anything done?
Oh, I don't know. Even if she has, though, I think it's subtle. Like, it doesn't look too bad.
Oh, it looks like she's had some stuff done, like injections of stuff to get rid of wrinkles or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, a bit of the old Botox or something.
A bit of the old this and that.
Maybe a little.
I don't know if she has,
nip,
you know. I don't know if she's... Maybe she has. But
I'd like to have a good example.
Maybe she
of
hasn't.
Some old Maggie Smith. There you go. She looks great. Maggie Smith.
Who?
She's 81. Maggie Smith.
You know, I don't know who that
Maggie
is.
Maggie Smith. Oh, for God's sakes! Just
is this that one from The Walking Dead?
No. Just ask.
No.
Ask.
That's not Maggie Smith.
Your dad.
My dad. I mean, my dad's not British, though. Is it a British woman that only British people would know about? A British woman for British men.
Oh,
only?
Judy Dench. She's a James Bond. She's 81. Judy Dench, and she. Well, I don't think she's ever had anything done.
No, I don't think she has either. Actually,
but I'm glad because sort of they just turn into a lizard, and it's very spooky if you know, it's careful.
Yeah, but I. Lizards have feelings too, and they need lovers as well, Lewis.
Yeah, maybe they're trying to look more like the royal
family. Could you love a lizard?
They're all lizards.
Make 2016 the year that you finally love a lizard.
Love a lizard. Yeah, okay. I'll think about it.
Lizard love.
This is...
Lizard love is driving me mad. It's making me crazy, crazy. Huh. Lizard... I don't know what the fuck I'm talking
next...
about. Sorry.
The next like common reason to take bit. No the next odd reason that someone's given for taking the day off. I thought it was a bank holiday today, and I'm 500 miles away.
Fuck that! That does not work. I mean, that is bullshit.
Well, I mean, it's an excuse, but and it's a it sounds like a legitimate excuse. Like, oh, I thought it was a bank holiday today. Oh, that's next week. Oh, right. You know, it sounds like some excuse. It sounds like an easily made excuse. Is all I'm saying. I'm not giving them the benefit of the doubt.
I think
that,
that's
but,
bullshit.
Yeah.
I don't think that ever hold up in a court of law, for
no.
example. Like, I think maybe, like, for alibi purposes, you could be like, I was locked in my bathroom, and here my dad can testify to that because he spent 3 hours trying to get me out. Yeah. But the bank holiday thing, I don't
okay,
think
Okay, and
work.
Here's the last excuse. I missed my stop on the train this morning, and now I can't get off it until London. That is from a worker in Glasgow.
That is fucking bullshit, too. I don't think that would work.
What do you mean?
At all.
What do you mean?
Because you'd just get off, like, at the
that's
next
right.
stop, wouldn't you? Like, you wouldn't have to go straight
no.
to London. I mean,
the
that's
train's
stupid.
Every half an hour
that's
each
dumb.
Way, so you just get off.
You need to think up a better excuse
way.
Than that.
I have fallen asleep on buses and trains before and gone to the end of the line and ended up a long way.
Fuck. One time I fell asleep on the bus. I had an exam at school. I fell asleep on the bus. And I woke up and I was like at the other end of the city and I was late for my exam and I was like, oh shit. It's not actually a really interesting story though, because in the end, I just got to the exam a little bit late. They let me sit it and
wow.
I passed.
One time I woke up yeah. in Crewe, in Wales. Well, I think it's in Wales. It's,
oh, right.
It might not be in Wales. Honestly, I don't even know where it is.
Yeah.
I woke up in Crewe.
All right.
It was like the end of the railway.
You woke up in Crewe.
I was like, fuck.
Were you wearing pants?
I was still partially clothed. Yeah, I think it was pants. Maybe a dress. I don't know what I was wearing at the weekend. It was crazy. It was a crazy, crazy time.
It was a crazy, one of the craziest weekends
yeah.
you've ever had. And you woke
still,
up in Wales.
I still don't know where it is. It might not be. I think it's on the Welsh
yeah,
border
nuts.
Somewhere. But it actually might not be in Wales.
At first, I thought you said Peru, and
holy shit.
That's why I was like, whoa, that's nuts. How
I was,
the hell?
It was me and Paddington Bear. We were on a wild fucking stag do.
too many marmalade sandwiches and fucking sugar, one thing led crash. To another. Next thing you know, we're in deepest, that's darkest right. Peru. Shit, that's crazy.
Good times. Yeah, what do you think about all day breakfast? What do you think about all day breakfast?
I think they're pretty good, actually, because sometimes you don't realize it, but actually it's late in the day and fuck, all you want is a breakfast. And there's nothing more disappointing, I don't think, than turning up to a place wanting a breakfast and then somebody turn around and be like, oh, we stopped serving breakfast approximately 50 seconds ago, so couldn't possibly cook you an egg. No. But it's stupid because it's like, we stopped serving breakfast, but you can still get like an egg sandwich. You can still get a bacon sandwich. You can still get like a sausage. So all the stuff basically that goes into a breakfast, they're still making. They're just not making it in that specific format, which I find bullshit.
I think there's, when I hear, for example, that McDonald's is now serving all day breakfast every day. Okay.
Yeah. You think it's McDonald's. They should have just been doing it all along. Like, what's this big revelation all of a sudden? Like, well, everybody, it looks like we've advanced the science enough. we've pushed forward the science to the point where we can finally happily announce to you that breakfast can be served all day instead of just until 10 o'clock. Well, all it took was we had to hire another guy, breakfast guy, to work longer. That's it.
I think my feeling about this is that I don't really know how many people go to McDonald's for breakfast anyway. Okay, I assume it's people who are working or busy or up early.
Do people still eat at McDonald's for real, though? I mean, I think the last time I ate at McDonald's was literally when I was like 12 years old.
Well, me too. I think so. I mean, I'm looking at this article and there's a picture of the McDonald's chief guy in the UK or whatever sitting here. And he looks the most uncomfortable. So he sat there smiling with a McDonald's breakfast in front of him and he looks like he's so out of place. He's never eaten a McDonald's
breakfast.
Does the breakfast
consist of hotcakes?
He clearly doesn't want to eat it. It, like, as soon as this picture's going to be finished taking, it's like, I already had breakfast. I ate a whole burger earlier. I couldn't possibly eat
somebody
this
save
McDonald's.
Me from this fresh hell. I have eaten 50,000 hash browns today.
No.
fuck.
Well, the thing is, there's a lot of competition at McDonald's. It's always been a lot of competition, okay? But this kind of new, hipper competitors like Five Guys, for example, coming in on the burger space, and you can see why, because they're pretty much better. And so the other, so I get a very Reddit news perspective. So I hear some news like, oh, McDonald's are now doing all day breakfast, and the first comment I know in Reddit is going to be someone saying, I work at McDonald's and this is a real pain for us. We already have 16 menu items without having to do the salads. Oh, why do people even want salads? It means we have to have lettuce and tomatoes. And now we have to keep the eggs ready all day. Oh, how it's so stressful working at McDonald's. And shut the fuck up. So I get this whole sort of angle of like, woe is me from the people who work there. I get the woe is me from the people who eat there. The next comment will be someone, I eat breakfast at McDonald's every day. Now I could eat breakfast every day and every night. Like, shut up. If you're...
What? Well, that sounds as good... That's a good thing, though. Why are they complaining about that? More breakfast.
I guess they're not complaining, actually. That's a positive comment, you know. But it's just, positive complaining. I read them in that voice.
Oh, right, yeah. So basically what you're saying is you read every Reddit thread as a whining complaint.
No, I kind of... There's a formula. You kind of learn that there's this formula that goes down with how these comment threads work and how... There's a formula in news articles too, okay? You know, it's a quirky tagline, a quirky introduction, a little bit of introduction as if people have never heard of a breakfast before or never heard of McDonald's. It's like, you know... Yeah. So the first paragraph will be for people who have never ever set foot.
I think the headline will be excellent. Now you can have breakfast all damn day. It's gonna be like really it's gonna be really exciting as well.
I mean,
oh, that was good actually.
I think the
they gotta get on the horn to me next.
The classic
work at McDonald's.
The classic problem is that McDonald's has this view of being unhealthy. Okay.
Yeah. Still, they can't shake it.
I think that there's when someone's like really really overweight, you know, one of the go-to things that they'll say is stop going to McDonald's and do some exercise. Okay. Those two things are probably not the things that are causing that person to be overweight.
No. No, because that's the thing. They're like, what did you eat today? And they're like, well, you know, I had a salad. I had, you know, a glass of milk. And I had, you know, a Nutri-Grain bar and stuff. And you think, what? Hang on a second. You know, if that's all this person's eaten, how come they're so fat? But it's what they're not telling you. And that's that they're waking up in the middle of the night and eating like 10 gallons of ice cream. But they don't count that as food for the day. And they don't realize it.
No.
And that's the worrying thing.
That wasn't eating. I didn't eat that. It was just...
I didn't eat that. It just sort of melted all over me and then dripped into my mouth. I didn't mean to eat it. So
I think the thing that The thing about that that always shocked me was the hidden calories in things like yogurt, for example. Yeah. A sort of a pret-a-manger, healthy-looking yogurt with nuts on it or whatever has more calories than a Five Guys burger or something crazy like that. I'm not sure that's entirely true, but you'll have to check. And that's the thing. I think that we don't quite realize how many calories are in the stuff we eat, and especially how much sugar. I think, and also, you know, you watch these things like Super Size Me. Or something where there's some guy eats some crazy diet and it's just, oh, you know, I'm going to gain weight. And there's some other guy does exactly the same thing and loses weight. And I think it's, if you start taking control of your diet in a crazy way and stuffing yourself and drinking a load of sugary stuff, then yeah, you're going to get fat.
Well, they say that like Coke and stuff is the worst for gaining weight. Like if you drink a lot of Coke,
I think that's what
you'll put on weight.
That's becoming this defining sort of consensus. Yeah, that sugar is way, way, way worse for you than we should ever realize. And also something like 70%, or I don't know, you have to check these facts, of things that you can buy in supermarkets have some sort of sugar in them.
Yeah.
And fruit juice is just as bad as Coke, full fat, full sugar Coke. Because
I don't know about that actually, but
well, it has agreed to disagree. So much sugar in it, you know.
Yeah, but fruit juice. You know, naturally occurring sugar in fruit and fruit juices is not as bad as
It's exactly the same.
Heaving tablespoons.
It's exactly the same.
The shitty sugar that is in Coke.
Again, it's the same. It's the same sugar.
It's not the same, and it's not the same amount either.
It's the same chemical. It's the same, and it is the same amount. It's much much worse. People don't realize that, you know, a glass of, you know.
Okay, if you're listening to this right now, don't let Lewis convince you that eating fruit is bad, because
eating
it's not.
Fruit
okay?
is not
Eat fruit
drinking
and
fruit
don't
juice.
Drink Coke and you'll be healthy.
If you drink a glass of if you drink a glass of apple juice, how many apples is that? It's like 10 apples squashed down into one glass. So, but if
eat an apple a day.
If you eat one apple, that's very different. You're eating a lot of, fiber and starch and all sorts of other stuff, which
I think like smoothies and fruit juices and stuff came about because of just the way that we live now, though. You know, like just the way that we are, because nobody really wants eating healthy is such a huge lifestyle change. Nobody wants to commit to it, right? Everybody wants to. People want to get it over with. And that's why it's like, well, I could just drink one drink that has all of my five a day in it at once, and then it's done, and I can go back to eating cake. that's the mentality. But it doesn't work, you know? It's like a whole lifestyle change, isn't it? Like, you can't cheat health like that. You can't do it.
No.
So if you're trying to, like, cheat it, you got to think of... Again,
I think you should just look into it yourself. And I think that the fact is that you can be eating without even realizing it 20 teaspoons of sugar for breakfast, okay, by having a bowl of Special K followed by a yogurt followed by a glass of apple juice, and that will be 20 teaspoons of sugar. And right, there is no
but
way you
still
can
are in better shape than somebody like who's breakfast. Had a jumbo Coke and 20 burgers in a day.
Yeah, if you were having instead. But here's the fucking thing. If you instead went to McDonald's and you had a cheese, an egg, BAP or whatever, and a whatever else, I don't know, is in a McDonald's breakfast, I don't think that would be as bad as 20 teaspoons of sugar. I think.
Well, no, but processed food is infinitely worse for you than sugar that occurs naturally in like fruits.
I think
stuff.
You're at, no. Again, I think that it's different. I think the sugar no, that you, the teaspoons
I'm right
of sugar
in what
that
I
you
say.
Put
categorically,
in your
coffee, I'm actually right.
It's just the same as that sugar.
No,
that's
it's
in,
not.
It's not a different chemical compound.
It's still better for you
where
than
you
eating
think,
at McDonald's.
Where do you think that
anything
sugar
at McDonald's
comes from? It comes from.
You don't even know half the stuff
cane.
In that thing at McDonald's, though. That's
okay.
the thing.
Now,
you know what doctors say to you, though?
Well,
every doctor will say
listen,
to you, if you don't know what's in it, don't eat it.
I'm not advocating McDonald's breakfast as a healthy option instead of
you
Special
just
K orange
you just
juice and a yogurt. But I think that you should be able to make up your own mind about that and realize that actually 20 teaspoons of sugar could be worse. I mean, fats do have more calories per gram. So, you know, fats are more easily turned into calories than sugar is by a ratio, I think, about 2 to 3. So, it's, or maybe
there is a lot of sugar in stuff that you wouldn't expect it to be in, though. It's true.
Yeah. This isn't very funny, but this is pretty serious. It's pretty serious chat. I think that you know you should know what you're eating, and since I started putting stuff into like my fitness pal and
my blender
counters, it makes me realize like
blending
how
it
is,
all up into
how
my
is that thing
super cocktail
no like it makes me the app the my fitness pal app once I put stuff in there it makes me realize like I eat something and I'm like holy crap how did I just eat that thing that had 300 calories in it. What where are those come from? And then I realize it's got a load of added sugar and I'm like, holy crap, I didn't realize. And it could be anything, you know. So it's nice to know what
you got
to
consider how many calories you're burning in a day as well, though, too. I mean, if you're not very active, it's not going to be many, but simple things add up over the course of a day to actually burn off quite a few calories too.
Well,
you don't always realize.
This is the thing about gyms, though, as well. And that's the second thing. Like, you know, so the first thing is people say to fat people, they say, stop going to McDonald's. And the second thing they say is go to the gym. And so we've already addressed that. Stop. You know, if you think you're eating healthily and you're having Special K apple juice and, you know, a yogurt every morning, that is 20. That's a lot of that's no good. OK, that's a lot of sugar. And so, first of all, I think dieting sometimes is a trick. People say, eat healthily. I don't think people know what eat healthily is, okay? The second thing is go to the gym. People say, go to the gym and you'll lose weight. That's no good. You could go to the gym. If you can't do a proper workout in the gym because you're very overweight or you're not very flexible or able to do stuff properly, but you still go home and eat a huge amount of food. You think, oh, I've gone to the gym for an hour. I'm going to eat this tub of ice cream as a result.
Yeah.
That's no good. I think losing weight is really, really hard because...
Yeah. And putting it on is really, really fun. That's the problem.
Putting it on is really enjoyable, yeah.
It's fucking great, isn't it?
I feel very lucky that I am genetically predisposed, I think, to be thin as opposed to people. I think people who are genetically indisposed to being a bit heavier.
See, I'm lucky. I'm just genetically predisposed to be just buff as shit. Like, I don't work out at all. And like, I'm ripped.
You're ripped
to the gills. Like, it's crazy. I don't even know how I do it.
I mean, Sips, it's all that exercise. You do at least one sit-up every day when you wake up, right?
Yeah.
Add those up over 35 years. That's
a lot of sit-ups, yeah. It's like you can see it in my abs too. Like my abs are the abs of a guy who's at least done 365 sit-ups in a year.
That's right. You can tell. It's a lot.
The motion of actually hoisting myself out of bed, yeah.
Yeah, respect to that.
See, that's the thing. Never underestimate just your day-to-day. You know, go to the gym, fine. But don't forget, you're getting at least one free sit-up a day just by getting out of bed.
So I'm not saying that you should not go to the gym if you're overweight, right? I'm just saying that...
That would go against our losing weight. Today's sponsor, which is Fitness First for all your fitness needs.
Losing weight
begins in the kitchen.
We would never imply
that you shouldn't go. Yeah.
Okay. And that is, first of all, involves just taking control over what you actually eat. So good luck if you're trying to do that, because it's hard. It's really, really hard.
It's really hard, yeah.
Yeah.
I think, like, again, it's a lifestyle choice, right? You have to want to be healthy, but you have to live being healthy. Like, you can't game it, you know? You can't count calories and have a super smoothie to be healthy sort of thing. You have to, like, be active, eat right, you know, eat fresh. You should always eat fresh food. You should always make your own food.
Eat fresh.
Make it.
This episode
eat it
is
as fresh as you can. Thanks. Big thanks to Subway for sponsoring our little chat today and Fitness First as well. And
I think Subway's a problem too. Okay.
Always brush your teeth, tie your shoelaces, and
Here's
wear a coat when it's
Subway,
cold outside.
Right?
Yeah.
It's very hard to write down in your calorie counter what you've eaten if you go to a Subway, because it's not clear, you know. So sometimes, for example, you can have like an entire salad, like a huge, huge bowl of salad with all sorts of stuff on it, and yeah, it'll be 100
calories.
Yeah,
the dressing.
Okay,
yeah, the
dressing, a little cup of the dressing, will be like three times the entire salad. So
yeah, but let's face it, that salad's going to taste like ass without it.
Well,
that's the sad truth.
Yeah, it is.
I went to Disney World one time and had a salad there, and honestly, it was as good as eating an ice cream. It was so fucking good, but like the dressing was crazy.
There's got to be a balance between, and again, I think it's tough for people because I sometimes feel down, and food eating is nice and cheers me up, right? And so there's got to be a balance between making yourself miserable and making your, you know, and trying to lose weight. And so I think that finding that balance is very difficult for people. And at the end of the day, so it's a little bit like we talked about with New Year's resolutions before. It's sometimes good.
What,
to,
did we talk about that?
Yeah, I think we talked a little bit about that. And it's a little bit like trying to keep your motivation by not letting yourself get too down. So sometimes, you know, they say, well, look, even if you're on a diet, you should still have your favorite, you know, double cheese pizza or whatever once every so often, as long as you put it in the calorie counter and you accept that, you know, or else you're going to make yourself miserable. I'm not saying
that's
you should
it.
Just have a
yeah,
tub of
you
ice
can't
cream
go
as a treat every day.
No.
But
maybe every other day.
Yeah.
To start with.
Yeah, to start and with and work your way there.
You
it's a slow...
Yeah.
These things don't happen overnight. I think people would assume they will, but gradual change is always better, and start now. Yeah.
Well, for more health tips and general well-being, you can visit our health blog,
health sponsor blog,
yeah, something like that. And
Sips Health.
And if obviously it goes without saying that if you truly do want to be healthy, don't take our advice.
No, don't listen to what we say. For God's sake.
Go to the doctor.
I am so sick of people saying like, Lewis doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. He's going to make us all, you know. It's like, I followed Lewis's diet and now I'm in I've got AIDS.
Now,
it's like,
and now I'm Hitler.
Just, I don't care, right? Don't follow my advice. Fucking figure it out yourself. Jesus, yeah. I'm not taking any responsibility for you being a dumbass, right?
There. Wise words. Anyway, goodbye.